last night, let's turn to our last reference in the New Testament, and then we're going back to the type and shadow of this that is set forth in Israel, and bringing that over to its reality in Christ. John's Gospel, the 14th chapter. Our areas of study have been John's Gospel, the 10th chapter, verse 7 through 10, where Jesus says, "I am the door. I am the door." John 11, where he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." We dealt with the I am factor Sunday night in an overview of what we would be covering this week. And we want to continue with that. So now we come to John 14. And again, this I am factor takes place. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." We dealt with this actually as an overview Sunday night, so I'm just reading it to you tonight. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." That is, I will come anew and receive you unto myself, that where I am, and we emphasized the other night that the I am here is still the same I am as the I am the door, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In fact, in verse 6, we come to that. This is not a place where he is, this is who he is. This is who he is. That where I am, again, not a place, where I am. The object of the word where is the I am himself. That where I am, ye may be also. The word there has been added to the text and really isn't necessary in this text. In fact, it takes away from what is being said in this text. That where I am, ye may be also. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thomas says, how do we know, you know, where you are? How can we know? How can we know? And how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then in verse 20, he brings it all together. "In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." That's the answer to verse 3. That's the answer to everything that he said here. "In that day you will know I am in my Father."
Amen.
"That you may be where I am. You are in me."
Amen.
"And I am in you." This theme follows through all the way to the end of chapter 17, which we will not read all of that tonight. "And I am in you." All right. Last night, to pick up where we left off last night, we were dealing with the door is not into the wilderness. The door is into the way, the truth, the life. The door is into the fullness of Jesus Christ. And Israel represents a picture of that fullness, and we're just taking it step by step. But Israel comes to represent the picture of that full salvation that we have in Christ. Israel actually represents a two-fold view of the Lord Jesus himself, and they represent a two-fold view of a people in union with him, purposed to be an expression of him in the earth. Well, you bring that over into the reality of our salvation, and that's what the church is. That's what the church is, purposed to be an expression of our union with him. The problem there is that you are only an expression of the union that you have comprehension of. You only express what you comprehend. Though all of the fullness of God is in Christ and you are in Christ, you only express the measure of that fullness that is working in you. That's all you express. And Paul continually says, and in one place particularly, that the ministry of Christ, that the ministry of the Spirit is toward this end, till we all come in the unity of the faith to the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, that is a full-grown man.
Amen.
Which is measured by what? To the measure of the stature, and that has nothing to do with size, it has to do with age, has to do with maturity, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the measure, you are measured, see, you are, when Christ, if you remember when Christ appeared in the seven golden candlesticks, when Christ appeared in the church, automatically that church, in each of its expressions, was measured by the standard of himself. He began to show himself as the measure of each of them. And each of them were coming short of that measure. And he dealt with that in each of them. And then the promise was that if they would hear him, that he would bring them to the fullness of the measure of himself. You see that in that chapter 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. You see that. Because Christ is, he's the measure of spiritual life.
Amen.
And spiritual life to its fullness. You understand? So you and I are always measured by Christ. Always measured by Christ. And Paul, that's what Paul is talking about. Till we come to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. Hallelujah. So it's to that end that the Holy Spirit works. Well, how does he do that? He does that by revealing that very Christ in us. Each time Christ is revealed in us, we are measured. Each time he's revealed in us, we are measured. And if we are, and we are, found lacking, he brings us farther in the measure of himself. Yes, he does. He brings us farther in the measure of himself. Paul keeps talking about that. I would that you all, with all saints, would come to comprehend what is the length, the depth, the height, the breadth, the fullness of God in Christ. See, this is the work of the Spirit in you and I, hon. This is the work of the Spirit in you, and it's the work of the Spirit in me. This is growing up into Him who is the full measure, growing up into Him who is the fullness, growing up into Him who is the head in all things. Why? That He might have expression in and through the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who filleth all and in all. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Well, all right. We see this in Israel. So we were looking last night that Israel, and I'm just going to touch on that and bring you up to what I really want to show you tonight. Coming up, we're coming up now. We're coming to the crossing over. Coming to the crossing over. And we were dealing last night with that the door is not a way out, but a way in. It's not a way out, but a way in. And it's not a way into the wilderness either. It's not a way into the wilderness. They were in the wilderness because of disobedience and because of unbelief. But at the same time they were wandering for 40 years in the wilderness, there was a group that was not wandering. There is a group that were being raised up as the living coming forth from among the dead. A group was being raised up, were not counted as those that were wandering, but was counted as those who would enter in. And really, the tabernacle and that whole thing became important to them. God continued to speak concerning the tabernacle. that this is for when you enter into the land, when you enter into the land, when you enter into the land. All of it was preparatory to entering into the land. There was something God wanted manifested in the land, hon. And there is something that God desires to be manifested in the earth today.
Amen.
Not religion. Not what we call Christian religion. Because the whole theme of that is getting out. As though we had gotten in to nothing. As though we are waiting to go in. Well, I remind you that those who did not go in, those who of the get out mentality simply died in that mentality. They simply died in the wilderness. That's what happened to them. So we're going to pick up on that. And just the wilderness is a state of unbelief and refusal to enter into and then walk out in the earth what God hath prepared and provided for us in Christ Jesus. See?
Hallelujah.
In the tabernacle, they saw everything that was prepared of God. Everything was set there in the tabernacle, and they had access to it by their high priest. We're going to find tomorrow night, I can't stay off of it because it's burning in my heart. We're going to find tomorrow night, the problem is they refused to manifest that in the land. They would not go into the land. They wouldn't go into the land.
Amen.
Sweetheart, it's one thing for you and I to talk about and even come to comprehend something of what we have in Christ. It's another thing for that to be our daily life. It's another thing for us to be an expression of that in the earth. And you remember, the new creation is not just a new heaven, but it is a new earth.
Amen.
As well.
Hallelujah.
You hear what I'm telling you? It's too easy to sit on our chairs, to sit on our pews, and talk about heavenly places.
Yeah.
In Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
The crossing over has to do with living out those heavenly places.
Amen.
In the land.
Hallelujah. Yes.
I told you the other night, I told you, I say things and sometimes they just get by, but I told you that all the wilderness wandering does, if we focus upon it, is confuse the picture. So you just take that out of the picture. Because while first Israel was wondering, second Israel was being prepared of God to enter into the land.
Hallelujah. Amen.
It's clear in the scripture as we look at it. So let's just go a little further, because there's yet something I want us to talk about tonight. The wilderness is a state, and by that I mean the wilderness of their wanderings. Of what we said it was last night, I identified it then, now we're going further. It's a state. It's a state. It becomes a state of being with us. It's a state of unbelief and refusal to enter into and walk out in the earth what God has provided and prepared in Christ Jesus. Now, let's look at some of these references that come right over into you and I. This is a type. This is a shadow. The reality of it is in Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:7-10. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. And he's talking about the princes of Israel. He's talking about the old covenant princes of Israel did not know. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Son, you can't stand up and preach your sermons and say, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things of God hath prepared for them that love him, and apply that to the church. That applies to the Old Covenant. That applies to Old Covenant Israel. You can't say that, but one day in the sweet by and by, one day, because the next verse says, but God hath revealed them. These things are revealed by the Spirit of God in the person of Jesus Christ, where the fullness of what God has provided dwells. It's exactly what we read in our little text references here. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I will come anew. And the word again here means anew. It's the same word that's in John the third chapter, a born again, born anew. That is from above. That is by the Spirit of God. And I will receive you unto myself. I'll receive you into what is prepared for you and has been prepared as a plan and a purpose and the intention of God from before the foundation of the world, where God before the foundation of the world chose you in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That was His chosen plan, His chosen purpose. That's the end toward which God began to move.
Amen.
Amen. That's the work that Christ at the cross finished and brought us into. That's the work that the Spirit of God seeks to reveal.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. John's Gospel, the 17th chapter, speaks of this same thing. John's Gospel 17, verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in you. See, honey, this is not getting in a building and trying to get along. This isn't getting in a building and trying to get along. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also... Here's this word also again. We read it in John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, a while ago. That where I am, ye may be also. You read it in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 4. When he who is our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Jesus is saying, this is the reason, Father. See, he's already spoken this to his disciples, and now his prayer is to his Father. This is the reason I'm going to the cross.
Amen.
This is the reason I'm going into death. This is the end of that. This is the goal of that. This is the accomplishing of what has been determined of God from before the foundation of the world when he chose us in Christ Jesus. That we may be in Christ Jesus accepted of God. This is in Ephesians, the first chapter. You know that.
Yeah.
Christ is now praying according to that. Then the glory that thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect, that is complete, that is mature, in one. Well, the one is Him, in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. See, all of this has its expression in the earth.
Amen.
That the world may know. That the world may know.
Amen.
That thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. It's exactly what we read in John 14. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1, verse 3 and 4, I've been quoting that, I'll read it to you now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen. As he hath chosen, he has done. That's what Paul is saying. As he hath chosen, so he has done. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Hebrews 6, verse 4 through 6 says, for it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God in the powers of the world to come, that is, that which is in Christ.
Amen.
If they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, see they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put into an open chain. Because, honey, you deny the complete work of the cross. You deny the whole, you deny the blood of Christ. Let me go on in these notes because I want to get to a point here. This is still relating to the fact that the door is not into the wilderness, that the wilderness was not a place accepted of God. It is a place that they died, and they died because they wouldn't walk in what God had prepared. What God had prepared, he set forth in the tabernacle. Very clear, hon. In the tabernacle where the high priest takes them into the very throne room of God, into the very glory of God, into the very sanctuary of God.
Amen.
We understand that in the fulfillment of that, the writer of Hebrews says, he has not entered in. Our high priest has not entered in to something made of hands, to a holy place made of hands, but he has entered in to heaven itself. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. That where I am, there ye may be also. Hallelujah. That they may be with me, Father, seeing my glory, the glory which thou hast given me. Hallelujah. Yes. But that the world may know. See? But that there may come an expression in the earth.
Amen.
I'm getting way ahead of myself, but that's all right. When they got up, the first bunch, and refused to go in, what was it that God said? We're going to read it again tonight, probably tomorrow night. What was it God said? What did he say? What did he refer to there? It seems like it doesn't make any sense, but it makes all the sense, and it makes sense.
Amen.
He got right up there, they wouldn't go in, and God said, as surely as I live,
amen,
as surely as I live, my glory shall fill the earth.
Glory to God.
Oh, hon, you see, the whole purpose was that there be an expression of his glory in the land that lay before them. And they would not do that.
Amen.
We'll talk much more about that tomorrow night. I want to get on by it. Secondly, the wilderness, and lastly here on this, I think this brings us up to where I want to be. The wilderness counts as nothing the blood of Christ. Well, now, just in the few verses that I've read to you tonight, I showed Brother Bruce what this is. This is a printout of all the scripture references for this whole notebook of notes, so that I don't have to look them up in the Bible and find them. So I've got them right here. And just in the references that we've already read, you understand that all of this was accomplished at the cross. Not to walk in it is to deny the finished work of the cross. is to deny the finished work of the cross. It's to count, and you see, that's what the Hebrew writer, he's not talking about the old Pentecostal term backslidden Christian. No, he's not talking about that at all. His direct reference is to Israel here who refused to enter in, and he brings it over and applies it to the church that you not stop either, that you not come short of the realization of the glory of God, because the whole thing is for that purpose, that God be glorified in His people.
Amen.
That the glory of God be expressed in the earth.
That's right.
And the glory of God is bound up in that mystery of oneness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
That, yes, that they be one even as we are one.
Amen.
Oh, blessed be the Lamb of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So the wilderness. And I've got all these down through the whole book of Hebrews. If we had time tonight, I'd read them to you, because all of them, having therefore, brother, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. That's the tabernacle again.
Amen.
The 23rd verse of that says, let us hold fast. Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful who promised. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And He is speaking this to the church.
Glory to God.
Hebrews the 3rd chapter, He says again, wherefore as the Holy... Hebrews 3 verse 7 through 14, wherefore the Holy Ghost saith, if today you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. See, hon? I never really understood, and we'll see it clear tomorrow night, how much these folks really provoked God.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, there was something bound up with this thing, see? And it had all been bound up with this business here at the door, where the blood was, where they had free access. There was no veil in that house, where they had free access. Oh, hallelujah. And that's the reason we're just saying in this little negative area, this little negative point, that door is not into the wilderness. So the wilderness is a state of unbelief, a refusal to walk in what you are brought into when you enter in by the door, by the way, the truth, and the life, because it leads to glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It leads to glory. How many times does the New Testament refer of that? Our salvation unto glory.
Amen.
Amen. Bringing many sons unto glory. And now the words of the Lord that we just read in John 17, that they may be with me where I am. That is not some futuristic prayer, hon. That's what He's going to the cross to finish this. He's going to the cross to perform this. He's going to return to His disciples and say, it's finished. It's done. Hallelujah. He's going to show them that in all the Scripture. He's going to, for 40 days, He's going to show them that in all of the prophets, all of the law, all of the Psalms. He's going to show them that.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of the living God. And then He's going to tell them, don't do a thing until this promise comes. I will come unto you.
Amen.
Oh, blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But you see, then you read Paul's epistles, because they were having a real problem making the transition from heaven to earth. A real problem in making the transition from heavenly places to manifesting that reality daily. And every one of Paul's epistles is dealing with that problem. And what is he doing? He's taking them back and showing them the heavenly reality. The heavenly. What did God do year after year after year after year, even while all that bunch was dying, year after year after year? God showed them the heavenly reality, the heavenly reality, the heavenly reality. Every feast finally come to be culminated in the final feast, the heavenly reality, the heavenly reality. The high priest taking them in beyond the veil, hallelujah to God, into the very presence of the living God. That this second bunch would go in and would express the glory of God. And you find that. You find that in a particular view of Christ. But This is what Hebrews is. This is what this Hebrew writer is warning the church of. He knows that with Israel, he says it in these places. They were our examples.
Amen.
What is the Holy? What was the Holy Spirit saying here? Well, the Holy Spirit was saying this and this and this.
Yeah.
He is showing them that. But he's saying here, be sure that you do not do what they did, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. The temptation is the day of trial and testing. Trial and testing. Oh. Yeah, both Peter says, both Paul says, that when your faith is put to the test as fire, that you may not be ashamed at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may stand the test.
Amen.
That you may stand the test. And in every situation, express the reality. Glory to the Lamb of God. See, that's all they had to do. Honey, all they had to do here in the land in Canaan was express reality. God said, I will go before you and I will drive out, and named all the seven nations that He would drive out. All they had to do was express reality. All they had to do was keep heavenly covenant with God and not make earthly covenants with the inhabitants of Canaan. That's all they had to do. To express the reality of the fullness that they saw in the tabernacle.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Counts as nothing the blood of Jesus. It just says that the whole thing never occurred. These that died,
Hallelujah. They
applied the blood to the door. They had eaten. They had tasted. They ate the flesh of the Lamb, did they not? The Hebrew writer is just talking about that.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
And now,
Amen.
These all died in the wilderness.
That's right.
These who put the blood on the door. These who ate the Lamb. Because they would not walk in the truth.
That's right.
They wouldn't continue in the truth.
Glory to God.
They wouldn't cross over the Jordan.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. They wouldn't cross over the Jordan.
Amen.
See, honey, people tell you, well, you know, crossing over the Jordan is a type of going to heaven. No, no, no. Crossing over the Jordan is a type of manifesting heaven in the earth.
Amen.
You come into a whole new view of Christ.
Glory.
The heavenly view is high priest. The earthly priest, the earthly view is ruling king. King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah to God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
We've got it all messed up.
Hallelujah.
We think we're on earth trying to get to heaven. No, honey, you're in heaven. You're in heaven coming into the earth. You're in heaven, the manifest reality in the earth. With God, heaven is always first. Don't you know that?
Amen.
With God, heaven is always first.
Amen.
You always start out there. You started out there in the plan of God before the foundation of the world. You started out there in the plan of God, in the choosing of God. The whole point is, these people didn't come through the door and then God say, okay, now there's going to be an indeterminate time of wandering around in the wilderness, and then one day, why, you'll all cross over and go to heaven. I don't know how we picked up that line of theology, because that line of theology was cursed of God. That line of theology incurred the wrath of God. That line of theology, it was why God said, I swear in my wrath, they will not enter into my rest. Oh, hallelujah. You see, the whole rest of it is here in the earth, understanding it's not I, but Christ who liveth. I don't have to make anything work. And if I have to make it work, I need to leave it alone, because it's not Christ.
That's right. That's the truth. Glory. Hallelujah.
Amen. Most of us are like a little old boy trying to push a real big boulder up the hill. You stump your toe and that thing rolls right back over top of you, just mashes you flat.
Glory to God.
There is no pushing in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There is a manifestation of reality. There's a manifestation. There is a rest. There is a rest. Hallelujah to God. They that have entered into this rest have ceased from their works, as God did His. It's a not I but Christ situation.
Amen.
That realization only comes with a greater view of Christ than me. I have to move from a view of me into the greater view of Him. Into the greater view of Him. This is why we sang, "Reveal Thy Son in Me." That's the view that God wants to birth in the heart of every believer, because that's the view that the church is to become an expression of.
Amen.
And if you think dispensationalism is going to get you there, well, just go ahead and think it. But I'm telling you now, it's not. It isn't by that. It's by My Spirit, saith the Lord.
Amen.
It's a reality of Christ, hon. It's a reality now. But now in Christ Jesus. Ye who were sometime far off are made nigh. Not pilgrims, not sojourners, not strangers, but fellow citizens with all the saints of God. Hallelujah. With all the saints of all ages, with all the saints. A habitation of God built by the Spirit. Oh, blessed. I'm not looking for a habitation. And God isn't looking for a habitation either. He has got His habitation. He has got His habitation. The Son finished that work.
Amen.
The Son finished that work, and to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Now that's the reality of it, see? That's the reality of it. Well,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
I've made mention to you, I told you I got ahead and I made mention to you that what we need to pay attention to. Well, how do we hold fast? I've been talking about holding fast, and how is it that we actually come to hold fast? Well, Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus. You'll remember tomorrow night, maybe you'll see, put the Ark of the Covenant 2,000 cubits out in front of you. You have not gone this way before. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Not looking for Him, looking unto Him.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Not wondering where He is, having Him revealed in you.
Amen. Right.
Looking unto Jesus. Walking in the true vision of God. Walking in the true vision of God. I am the way, the truth, the life. There's the true vision of God. Israel was to be a representation of that true vision of God. And that part of Israel that was raised up from the ones that died was, in type, typically, that vision of God. And that's what we're talking about. So I keep saying again, don't get, a lot of people just count that whole time between the door and Jordan, you know, as wilderness wanderings, but there were those there who were not wandering in the wilderness. The tabernacle, all of its ordinances, its feast, its offerings, was not for those who refused and died, but it was for their children, that God may have a seed, that God may have a seed in the land. Exodus 13:5. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Jebusites, Havites, which He swore unto thy fathers to give to you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep the service of this month. Exodus 13 and 11. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as He sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee. Leviticus 23:10. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you. Now who do you think He was talking to, hon? He wasn't talking to those that were busy dying.
No.
He was talking to those that the Lord was raising up.
Amen.
He was talking to the true church in the wilderness. You see this same thing. You see this same thing in church history. You see this same thing in actuality.
Amen.
After the cross, when that first Israel would not enter in. 40 years they were destroyed. And in 40 years, the church was coming forth. Those that received Him, to Him He gave power to become the sons of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But we're looking at the type here. The same thing. All right. Speak to the children of Israel and say, when you come into the land, which I give to you, you shall reap the harvest thereof. You shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. Leviticus 25:2, speak to the children of Israel. Say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you, then shall you keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. Everything that was set forth here was to be made manifest in the land.
Amen.
That fullness was to be expressed in the land, you understand. Oh, hallelujah. Let me see. Yes. Numbers 14, 16 through 24. Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which He sware unto them, therefore He hath slain them in the wilderness. Now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering of great mercy. I've got to read this to you because I want you to see something tonight. The Lord is long-suffering of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, that by no means and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even till now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as surely as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Surely, and I'm skipping out of verse 23 for time's sake, well, let's just go on. Verse 22. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, you can read this in Hebrews, hon, applied to the Christians,
amen,
which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. Him I will bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And then Numbers 14, verse 30 through 32. Doubtless, you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell in, save Caleb and Joshua. But your little ones, which you said would be a prey, them I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. When I was reading back here, the Lord is long-suffering of great mercy, forgiving iniquity, transgressions. I'm thinking of Peter. Because during that 40 years after the crucifixion, the death, burial, resurrection, and indwelling the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that 40 years, Israel come to its end at the cross. 40 years later, the manifestation of that end was fully made. Made in a most terrible, terrible, terrible way. During that time, the Lord bringing forth the church as the living from among the dead, as the true resurrection that was promised to Israel and Israel rejected.
Amen.
Bringing them forth. Peter speaking to the church that is saying, when? When? Because you see, they're saying, we're the children of God. We're the tabernacle of the Lord. We're that. That's in truth. We're that. And yet, they're being fed to the lions. They're being dragged out by the Jews. The Jews' temple looks like it's still standing. The Jews' religion looks like it's still flourishing. And they're asking why. They're asking when. When is the Lord going to do what He said? When is this manifest end of the world that we have accepted with the cross? When is it going to come? When is it going to be made manifest as the Lord said? When? And Peter says the very same thing there. If you can read it, he says the same thing. The Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, But don't count that as though the Lord is slack concerning His promises. Read that in Peter. It's the same thing being said here. The same thing being said here. None of those who rejected Him will enter into this. None of those who rejected Him will be part of this glorious manifestation in the earth. That's what Paul was telling them. That's what Peter was telling them. Because they were preaching to them the reality that was finished in Christ, but not yet made manifest in the earth. John picked up on that same theme when he said, "Beloved, now we're the sons of God." You know about who's... There's no...